There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have y'all along. A couple hours for us to hang out and visit here. That's good. Over the weekend, there are probably things we need to talk about, things coming up this week we need to talk about. Phone line and text line waiting for you at 343-0106, plus the talkback feature where you can leave us a message on the brand new FM Talk 106.5 app. We'll talk more about that in just a second. I want to get to my conversation with our buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. But before we do, and I'll talk about this later this hour, but number one, it's a truly held belief. And number two, y'all know, anybody who's been with me for years on the show, I can't stand when everybody agrees. Like, I can't jump in on a team. And the discussions have been going on about Indigenous Peoples Day today. And my friend Jeff Poore's comments there, and of course, State Auditor Jim Ziegler talking about, well, he's made sure to say Columbus Day, like some kind of reverse virtue signaling. Say, well, I celebrate Columbus Day. Okay, first of all, we'll get into this, but just some things to think about here until we get this discussion going. Think about the state of Alabama, the name of the state. Think about the rivers in the state. Think about the places in the state. Where do those names come from? Right? Right. So you're this idea that it has to be one or the other does bother me. It's the same frustration I have when the state celebrates Martin Luther King Jr. Day along with Robert E. Lee's birthday. Has to have it on the same day. Now, it's not anti-Columbus Day, and that's the problem. You got the far left is anti-Columbus Day, and then you could have somebody out there on the maybe the far right or something to say anti-Indigenous Peoples Day. Can't you celebrate both just on different days? Now, do I get frustrated with Google when you open your Google calendar and it's like Che Guevara's birthday or something on there when I'm trying to insert go get groceries on my Google calendar? Yes, I do. I tire of that. At the same time, this binary decision, it has to be one or the other and only one has value, is BS. So, now that I've ruffled your feathers, we'll take those texts and phone calls in the second half of this hour. Now, probably sheepishly, my buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, joins us. Hey, man.
Hey, man, I appreciated your rant. It reminds me of my favorite Emerson quote, which is, "A foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds."
True. Well said. And way to start us with some poetic literature as we get rolling here. I just think this idea that there's only a binary choice in anything and people are going to, oh, we're going to fight about it. I'm going to pick my side and I'm going to say my side's the only way. I don't know. It leaves me scratching my head. All right, let's talk about some of the other things out there that leave me scratching my head, although I do get updates in my inbox from you, which will remind folks how to get your email here in a second. $46 billion, you write here, have flowed into the state of Alabama.
With a B, yes.
$1 billion. Okay. This is COVID money that has come to Alabama?
Yeah. So, you know, when we were going through the special session on prisons, everybody was getting up in arms about how they're spending COVID money. So Mary Sell, who's our ace reporter at the Daily News, just went and did a run through. Let's add up everything. And got some help from the state, the budget writers, basically, that work for the state. Because right now, you know, it was the change in fiscal year, so they're adding up all the revenue. So all told, this is money that's coming from you know, in the form of stimulus checks to individuals, unemployment assistance, paycheck protection program to businesses, direct money to the state, to counties, to cities, all of it, when it is all added up, $46.8 billion, which is just, it's just a staggering amount. And more than half of that, $30.3 billion, that came directly to businesses, that came directly to individuals in the form of checks. So it didn't pass through the state or pass through a city or anything like that. So that puts it in perspective a little bit.
Okay. That's, and it is, because I saw that first number and I was like, whoa, wait, that all went to Montgomery? Yeah, not exactly. I look at that number though, and you and I were talking during the news break. As a population, I don't know where we are. I don't know where we rank. We are not one of the top, we're not one of the top 25 most populous states in the union, do you think? Or
last time I checked, we were like 21st or 22nd. Okay. We're in the middle.
All right. So that means all the other states above us, that number was more. I mean, start tallying that up.
Oh yeah. I mean, Georgia's twice as big as Alabama right now. And,
is it really twice the population?
Wow. Yeah. And so what if they got $90 billion, which would not be a stretch at all. I think you could probably argue that it would go up a little bit for more populous states. It just kind of puts in perspective the astronomical amount of money that the federal government has spent. And that doesn't count for everything. This is just what's coming to states, coming to, you know, to individuals. It has nothing to do with other federal expenses. So it's just important to show what all happened, especially, and I love Mary's timing here, because she reported this, you know, alongside or on the tail end of everybody's freaking out about $400 million being spent on prisons, right?
right.
And so it's like, okay, that is a fraction, a very small percentage of what we've gotten overall. And I thought that was pretty good context as well. It's like, okay, guys, out of $46.8 billion, they're spending $400 million on building prisons. I think we're going to be okay. You know, I think people are getting help in other ways.
Yeah, and that's, you know, one of the things I wonder when you see these huge amounts of money, and we've looked at it statewide. I thought the BP money could have been a sea change if applied. Okay, here's how in the real world, you know, you get a big check comes into the house for something. Aunt Edna dies or something. You get the big check. Do you re-roof the house and put money in the college fund and get those, you know, couple things, big things done? Or do you end up piecemealing it out and not having, I sound like my parents now for good reason, and have nothing to show for it down the road? You know?
So the difference here is, you know, unlike BP money or other windfalls we've gotten, oil and gas, things like that, we can't necessarily invest this. We're supposed to spend it on projects. And there was a story we did last week that sort of laid out exactly when they were going to go about doing these things. I guess it was for Inside Alabama Politics. But so the state has not gotten that first ARPA check yet. We expect to get it in January. And that'll be for $1.1 billion. They're going to spend, obviously, $400 million on the prison plan. So that leaves, what, $700 million more or so?
Right.
To spend in the January session that happens here in Montgomery. But we're not going to get the second half of the money, the other $1.1 billion, until May, after the session's done. So the state's going to have $700 billion to mess around with in January. And then after that, another $1.1 billion to figure out down the line. Now, Bill Poole, who's the state's finance director, says, hey, this is a good thing. We don't want to rush to spend this money all at once. Like, maybe we can take some time and figure out the best use for it.
Which I like that.
Maybe goes to your point.
Yeah, I do. And that's what I would... You said, okay, you have to use this money on projects. Yes, I agree on projects. And do I see a big project down here as being an infrastructure project? Sure, I do. But whatever it is, and can be debated, if we can apply this money to do things that we could never get the consensus on spending the money if it came out, it all comes out of the taxpayers. But if the state taxes would be a lot harder here. So if there's something that we've been needing to do, you know, and I think this prison plan's part of it, then use this money, allocate it, and make a real change instead of just, I know it doesn't work in Montgomery that way, but parsing it out to this group and that group and that group, and then we don't really have anything to show for it.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think that's kind of why they went ahead with that on prisons. I mean, it got some criticism, mainly from the left, but, and you're probably not finished seeing some of that, by the way. But at the end of the day, it helped them pass the plan among conservatives who are maybe a little wary of spending so much money, right? So you get, okay, you get to spend, you know, basically a third of this expense. It's you know, free federal money that we don't have to pay back. Hey, that's a good deal.
We're all going to pay it back. I mean, we're all going to pay it back at some point.
But, yeah,
grandchildren.
No, definitely. But, yeah. Oh, wait, no, Sean, the
that's right.
$3.5 trillion equals zero.
Yeah.
You know that?
I learned that, too. I knew my math skills were bad. I just didn't think they were that bad.
But the good thing for the state also going forward is, let's just say they did not have that $400 million and they had to borrow it. Well, that would have raised debt payment in the general fund by probably, I don't know, $20 to $40 million a year. So that's $20 to $40 million a year that they can spend on other services or not take them away from other services. So, you know, I think some of the criticism of that maybe didn't take that into account.
When we look at the, you know, another story people can read here, when you start talking about dovetailing stories, is where we are with the jobs report, right? And sluggish jobs report. I'm going to talk about that later on in the show, but this much money's been pumped in, okay, all over the fruited plain. And we still got the sluggish jobs report. Now, people can say that, hey, you know, that's because people are getting paid not to work with this, but I don't know, because remember the additional federal money to the unemployment went away, and so many had told us that immediately everybody would go back to work, and that doesn't seem like it's happening. So are they getting money some other place, or what's your take on it?
You're exactly right, and this is something we're looking into right now. We had a meeting earlier today just about, all right, we've got to figure this out, because, I mean, it made sense when this extra federal benefit was coming for unemployment, so basically just paying people not to work. And everybody said, we wrote stories about it, how, yeah, as soon as this goes away, the job market is going to be a lot better in terms of people looking for work. Mm-hmm. But it hasn't gotten better. Now, Alabama's unemployment rate is really low. I think we're at 3.5. Federal government is at 4.8, and that's down. They were celebrating that on Friday. But the labor participation rate is atrocious. And really getting worse. In Alabama, we've got a really bad one. It's about 71.3. That's third worst in the country.
Now, explain that to folks, too. Explain that, because they'll see the overall number. Go with 3.8. That's great. And then labor participation
exactly.
rate is what?
So the unemployment rate is essentially a survey, right? They will call and they survey, canvas so much of the country, and they get an idea of, okay, who has a job? What kind of job is it? Who doesn't have a job? And are you looking for a job? So if I get called and I say I'm unemployed and I'm looking for work, then I'm counted as the unemployment rate. But if I say I do not have a job but I am not looking for work, then I don't get counted as an unemployed, right? I'm not a part of that 3.5% that we celebrate so much. And the problem is, more and more people are just choosing not to look for work. So that doesn't show up in an unemployment rate, but it's bad for the economy, because so many people are, you know, able, you know, of the age where they can work, everything, and choosing not to, an increasing amount. And that's what we're trying to figure out. Why are people staying home? You know, the governor ended those extra benefits in June. You know, that's what, 3 or 4 months ago?
Right.
Does it take a while to cycle through? You know, regular unemployment insurance, it only lasts for 26 weeks. So we really should be past a lot of the time where, you know, the whole getting paid to stay home thing. The one difference is, on the federal side, they passed a law that allowed people to take their child tax credit in the form of payments throughout the year instead of waiting till tax time. So basically you can get $300 a month. Per child, if you're under a certain income threshold. But I can't say that's, I mean, that enough to live on?
Yeah, it's not. That doesn't keep you from going back to work. I don't believe that.
I agree. And so, but some, that's what some businesses are saying, you know, but have people, you know, move back in with their parents. It's just a real pickle. We're looking into it right now, but nobody wants to admit, from the Biden administration to the Ivy administration, nobody wants to, you know, really make a big deal out of this labor participation thing, but it is. And so we've got to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, you know, and we talk about the unemployment rate, and thank you for explaining to us the labor participation rate. But, you know, you go, okay, 4.8 national unemployment, which, you know, well said that they were celebrating out of Washington. But if you start taking that and looking at sector by sector, now, you know, I did over the weekend looking at like whatever they call it, leisure and hospitality, food service. Now we're looking at 7 or 8% unemployment. Yeah, and that's not even participation rate. You know, yeah. That's what. Yes, there are some areas of that have not been affected. Really, some people are in a better place post COVID, maybe. But there are other areas. I mean, you hear that everything's going to be hunky dory here, and then you, how many signs do you see in Montgomery where they're, you know, shorter hours at a restaurant, looking for employees, you know, please be patient, all that stuff. I mean, that's real. That's front. That's Main Street.
It is, and I think there are some economic changes afoot. I mean, I think, you know, this last year and a half has been a big deal, right? I mean, it's a major event in generationally in our country. So it stands to reason that our economy might change too. People are going to be demanding higher wages, and that's good. I mean, you know, yeah, I think it's always good for people to make more. And unfortunately, following along with that is inflation, right? Things
yep.
cost more. And so I do think that there's going to be a bit of a reckoning there. People are going to demand more money. They are. But we've still got to figure out the economic question of how can you afford to not work? And, you know, is there some kind of family support? What's really going on here? And only because for our economy to function, people have to be in the workforce, right? And it'll all even out at some point. And hopefully when all this federal money kind of goes through the wash, we'll get back to some kind of normalcy where we can take stock.
And we will indeed. All right, remind folks, they want to get your email in their inbox. This is a pretty hard thing to do, right? Pretty impossible to get signed up for your email.
It's really easy and it's free. You want to read what all of the state leaders are reading every morning to start their day. It's just aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Click sign up at the top, enter your name and your email, and you will be on the list.
Todd, as always, I appreciate our conversations. We'll talk again soon.
All right, man. Be good.
There he is, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:27, Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. All right, just a second here for the news update, but then I want to hear from you. I mean, we're talking about that horrific jobs report that came out, talking to Todd Stacey a little bit about it. 194,000 reported. They were expecting between 700,000 and 800,000 jobs to be reported. So unemployment rate stands at 4.8%. But if you look in the sectors out there, like leisure and hospitality, 7+% unemployment. And remember the story. Now, the story was, and maybe here in Alabama, it's different. But around the country, and conservative thought, logical thought would tell you that when you take away this assistance, this additional federal money for unemployment that made it not worth going back to some jobs, when that went away, then people would go back to work. But it did not happen like that. So is there a little bit of a hangover and a delay here? I got this question. I've got some ideas when I come back, but I got a question. Do you work in hospitality or food service industry? Like, what's your take? Why did you, if you didn't go back to work to the job you had before in those sectors, why didn't you? Did you find another job? You said, you know, now I'm going to use this opportunity to go do something differently. Did you say, nah, I'm just not going to work? Like in that labor participation rate, you said, I'm unemployed, but I'm not looking for a job. And if you're doing that, how did you square that? I mean, do you think folks out there are reassessing what they were doing with their lives, or it's just people waiting for things to get you know, another month or two tougher, and then they go back to work. It's an interesting question here. You know, where are those people who are saying, okay, I'm unemployed, but I'm not looking for work? Where, you know, Todd said, where are they getting money from? Where are they getting assistance? That's different than before the pandemic. Before, somebody just says, well, you know, there's these safety net programs. Okay, well, they were there before. Is the number not right? You know, how much higher do the wages need to go to incentivize somebody to come back in? This is a big deal for our nation and our economy. We'll talk about it with you when we get back. Plus, coming up hour number two, Ag Commissioner Rick Pate's going to join me. We're going to talk about some of the flooded cotton, but we're also going to talk about people who want to sign up to grow marijuana in the state.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Monday. Reminder, too, you can use the brand new FM Talk 106.5 app to leave us a message. Just download the app from the App Store for iPhone users, Google Play for Android users. And once you do, there's all kind of stuff going on there. But on the front page, there's a microphone icon. The same page you listen to the stream and get our podcast and all that on. You'll look to the bottom there. There's a microphone icon. If you'll press that, it lets you leave a message. It sends it to us, and we can play it right here on the air. All right, I want you all to say hello to my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM Motor Cars. And it's a Monday. Let's talk inventory, Larry.
Well, we got great inventory. We got some more coming. We've got drivers going to pick up some more, but we got a great selection of trucks. We've actually got 2.5 full lines of trucks, which has been hard to come by lately.
All right, let's talk about the selection of financing to go on with those trucks.
Financing is tremendous. Like I said, we got a great array of credit unions that are really aggressive. We've got multiple lenders, including national lenders that go all across the country. We've got local banks, finance companies, so we just got something for everybody.
All right, let's get directions to see you in person and online.
Highway 98 Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
All right, Larry Kirby checking in from LCM Motor Cars. And now come to the phones here at 343-0106 on the text as well. Just to kind of reset this question here. What do you think is happening? If the incentive to not work has gone away, but still the unemployment rate, and like I said, you'll see the big story, the big headline will be unemployment rate stands at 4.8%. But start getting into the sectors like leisure and hospitality, food service and all that, and see how high those numbers are. Or heck, just look when you ride down the road, right? You get that shorter hours, longer waits, those kind of things because of lack of staff at those places. So a question here, if you worked in that industry before COVID, and you haven't come back, why? Is it that you did something else? You're choosing not to come back? The numbers aren't right for you to come back? Why did you not go back to work? And another thing, this is just kind of me, you know, back of the envelope here. I wonder if people reassessed on maybe what they're doing with their lives and did something else. And I do wonder on maybe a bigger 30,000-foot view, do you think the American dream is changing? And I'll be the weird one in the country saying this, and not just, but I wonder about that. And the reason why is I looked at those unemployment numbers, and then at the same time, I had a YouTube open on my computer at the house. And mine's populated by skid steers, tractors, to some degree, what I've been looking at, but also it's populated by people who have chosen to like buck the system. Right. And they're doing, I'll call it the farm and sailboat crowd. You think about it. Is there now a new American dream? It's not the Ferrari, you know, it's not the mansion and, you know, here we are on the water and it's these trappings of luxury and wealth. Maybe for a lot of people, it's freedom of time, doing something that is satisfying to them. You wonder, I mean, the popularity, think about that. If you're a YouTube user, and I don't know what you search for, but you probably don't have to search too far until you see somebody's like, and I do realize maybe it's the things I look for, but the people that have gone homesteading, right? That they were accountants or nurses or whatever, their family, then they moved to a 40-acre piece of land, and they're living off the land there, maybe doing some odd jobs or whatever. Or the flip side, which I still think is the same deal, the people that the sailboat people, right, that just said to heck with everything, and they're sailing around the world and making money doing this, that, or the other, you know, side hustle and gig, but the sailboat is their home and their transportation. You know the pages I'm talking about. So I wonder if there's not some shift in that. And it doesn't account for all these people, for sure, because you have to have a little bit of coin set back to be able to make that jump. But I wonder if you look at the people who don't come back to different jobs, if they did something like this, you know, went from the 9 to 5, the high pressure, the stress, the long hours, and they're probably still doing long hours today, but maybe something that's more satisfying to them personally. Now, how many people does that account for? I don't know, but I just wonder, in this discussion, and we watch, was there something that happened during COVID that has reset the whole discussion around unemployment and what it means to be employed and going back? And does that somehow explain some of these numbers or the disparities there? All right, we'll go to your calls and texts to the phones first. And David is in Mobile. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean. There is some of that people reassessing their lives and doing some stuff that makes them happy. But when it comes to the hospitality industry, what you have is those people are the ones that are most likely working 2 and 3 jobs just to survive. But they also have kids. So you may have a single mom that's working 2 or 3 jobs, but she may have 3 kids. Well, she's getting $900 a month from the government right now with that tax, that monthly tax credit. And when she sits down and she does her monthly finances, she's probably bringing home that much or she's bringing home at least that much, if not less than that, working that third job. So she, after you take out child care expenses and other work-related expenses, mm-hmm. So why would she want to work that third job if she's not going to bring that much money home right now?
Yeah.
Because she can spend more time with her kids.
Yeah, do you think, I mean, and I wonder if, I did not see that, I don't know if it's available from the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, but if there are more women maybe that didn't go back in than men, I don't know that. Once again, I'm just wondering, but that may show up.
And you also have, with the skyrocketing cost of daycare costs right now, you have some working parent families that may choose to decide that it's better for them right now for one parent to stay home because the daycare costs are so much.
Well said, David. Appreciate the call. That, I mean, see, now there's a lot of questions here. I don't think it's as simple as just saying, well, the people didn't come back to work. I go right back to the phones. Y'all hold on. But unnamed texter says Alabama unemployment was like 4 or 5 times a normal amount last year for several months. I'm sure that some people decided to put that extra money up and could still be living on that money today. There are also people that found out they could make it on their own as a business owner and are so far successful. The number of Mobile business license applications were through the roof for a while. That's an interesting piece of information. Thank you, Texter. I myself left a career of 14 years after my employer took advantage of the PPP program but did not use it to pay employees, even though our hours were cut in half. By the way, I don't claim to be an attorney, but I think you have a case there because remember, the absolute language in the PPP is you had to use it to keep your staff there. And then goes on to say, I have been in business for myself for 10 months. So far, so good, but I'm not on unemployment and have never been. Good for you. And that's another insight into what may be going on here. Let's go to Ken in Orange Beach. Hey, Ken.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. Thanks for the call.
Hey, the thing that struck me when you pointed out that nothing changed on unemployment when the money went away.
Right.
Is that, to me, that shows clearly how wasted all that money was. If it wasn't keeping people alive and keeping food on their table.
Yeah, what was it? Yeah, what was it? How did they do it?
Don't have that, so they need to go back to work, but they really don't go back to work. Obviously, they really didn't need that money, and we were just throwing it away.
Or did they go somewhere else? You know, that's what I'm wondering too, Ken. I mean, I think what you're explaining is probably some of it, but did some people shift during that? And, you know, they sat home long enough to go, this is not the job. This is not the career. This is just a job. I need to try to hang out my own shingle and do whatever it is, you know, to make a living.
Right. They may be undercounting
Yeah.
some of them, But clearly, it seemed like a lot of that unemployment money was just a giveaway.
Now, somebody's telling me here that it may be a delay, you know, and that's, I have no way to say it's not, but, you know, that in two more months, this will turn around. Maybe it will, and we'll talk about it then. But right now, I'm like you. I'm just scratching my head. You have an answer. I just have a question of how the heck this is happening. Well, you know, we figured, well, as soon as that extra money goes away, then people go back to work. But they didn't. Ken, appreciate the call. Let's see. So Houndsue says, my daughter was in the restaurant business before COVID hit, but was already looking to get out of that business. She said her friends that are still working at restaurants aren't making any money because business is so bad. So I believe a lot of people are finding other jobs, and they don't want to be around COVID either. Unnamed texter says, bingo, probably to Ken's comments. Dan says, I just want to point out that people like me and you have been screaming about the shoddy fiscal policy of our nation for years, and now everyone that had not been paying attention is causing us all now to pay the price. Dan, you're right. Nobody wanted to hear from us for years on that. Okay, so, and Haywood said, I left managing restaurants in March of 20 to managing lawn care. Best move ever. But you're still going to be counted, I guess, in those employment numbers. I just thought it was interesting. And maybe there is. Maybe, you know, the shifts that have happened, like Haywood or anybody else, have shifted around. Kind of, you get in a rut, right, until something, so many parts of our lives are like that, right? That you're in a rut and then something happens and you see it as bad when it happens, but it actually is the catalyst to move you. And you look back a couple of years and go, holy cow, even though that really stunk when that happened, that was the good thing. And I wonder how many people are kind of doing this, not working the regular job. And I don't believe YouTube, the I bought a farm, I live on a sailboat pages are exactly emblematic of what the majority of Americans are doing. But I wonder if there is that shift where somebody was in a job, then they didn't have the job because of COVID. They had some assistance money, had a little time and maybe a little bit of coin and said, hey, I'm going to do something that I've always wanted to do. I don't know that that accounts for all the people, but it is worth looking at. And I'm sure as the next couple months of unemployment stats come out, we'll watch how those numbers move and maybe it'll help us better understand what's happening right now in October of 2021. All right, we'll get the news coming up next and be right back. This is Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Heck, we didn't even have a chance yet to talk about the, and maybe next hour, the Southwest Airlines sick out. Doing sick outs for airlines is not brand new. They've used that in labor negotiations in the past. But interesting, the vax mandate and the sick out. And then, of course, the company's spinning it and saying, oh, it's about whether this, that, or the other. Doesn't seem to line up. All right. From the text line here, let's see. Unnamed texter says, scary because a $14 an hour job doesn't even cover rent in Baldwin County. Let's see. Next, unnamed texter, I work for a landscaper in South Baldwin County. We turn down work every day due to lack of employees. We simply cannot find laborers. If you do find one, they only want to work 2 days a week because they say if they work any more that it will, that they will make too much money and that they won't get their check. Yeah, so that seesaw there. That seesaw is an interesting one, where the incentive to not work, there's an incentive to work, but not too much, right? It's not you hit a certain number. So then you ask the question, okay, so do you raise the water or lower the bridge, right? If you're Keynesian and you believe in big government, you're going to say, well, if you forced a higher rate of pay, then those people wouldn't be on the in that situation, they take the job and get off the public assistance. But then you can turn it around and say, no, your public assistance is keeping them from getting a job. Which, by the way, side note, we're not going to do it today. We've done it before on the show. We'll do it in the future by discussion of the unemployment, or not unemployment, of minimum wage. Do you realize that part of what the government, and it's a subsidy when you raise minimum wage, and I know this is a touchy subject, but they are subsidizing, government is subsidizing big business in this country. Because there's, beyond general safety net programs, there are all these other programs that let somebody work for a wage below what it would take for them to survive, right? Therefore, the company that has, you know, tons and tons of employees, that we're subsidizing people being able to take that job at that wage. I know it's probably a little more intricate of a discussion than that. We will have it in the future, but just to, you know, circle back around on that. All right. Sean says, I think a lot of people are working under the table. There's a parallel society being formed due to the vax mandates, and the time off in 2020 made people realize they can make money working for themselves. Sean, I agree. I think that's a good part of this. All right. Unnamed texter, to my knowledge, each state has its own unemployment rate, and for good reason. It costs more to live in New York than Mobile. How many times have I said that over the years? Preach on. But the extra unemployment that was given on top of the states was the same in every state. Right. We've talked about this before, what that means in Alabama versus California. They go on to write here, which ended up being way too much for Alabamians. People were literally making more money from unemployment than they were when employed. The extra $600 per week was equal to $15 per hour at 40 hours. That's $15 an hour extra on top of what state unemployment rate was before being taxed. It was easy to see that train wreck coming, and here we are. Right, but so why didn't, and I'm following what you said, unnamed texter, 100%, until it goes away, and then you got to ask this question, why people didn't go back to work? Why is it, why are the September jobs number, why does it look like it does? That's a, I mean, it's like 194,000. They're expecting 700,000 to 800,000 in that. Projecting exactly that when the extra money goes away, the people go back to work, but they didn't. All right, before we, and Ag Commissioner Rick Pate is going to join us next hour. Lots to talk about with him, but I do want to say this. I start off the hour with this because I truly believe this, and I when everybody sits here and talk radio and says, Indigenous Peoples Day. Now, my rub on this one is that it has to be this binary choice between Columbus Day. You have to be anti-Columbus Day and pro-Indigenous people, or you have to be, you know, pro-Columbus and anti-Indigenous people. It's a simpleton's argument. It's the same thing we do in the state with celebrating Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert E. Lee on the same day. Stop it, state of Alabama, stop it. And this force here to try to put Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day on the same day, why not have two different days, right? People are saying, well, we require a day off. Well, most of America's working today. I don't know why they force that. And if you laugh at it here in Alabama, I mean, the word Alabama is a Choctaw word, right? If thicket clearers or vegetation gatherers or whatever. I mean, the name of our state is a Choctaw word. And let's look around. I mean, think about the rivers, let alone the Alabama River. We already know that. How about the Tom Bigby River? Choctaw word, right? Actually, it was a Tom Beckby, you know, and it was people said that it meant like coffin makers, but I think it was more raft makers or something like that. Because the Chickasaws believe that when the flooding would come on the Tom Beckby, that was the Great Spirit, the chief god was taking a bath, and that's when the waters would come up on the river. But that's Tom. I mean, Tallapoosa. Go down the Lacusa. Look at the rivers that adorn our seal. You know, and here I mean in I mean, state auditor Jim Ziegler was saying, well, I celebrate Columbus Day. Can you not do both? Can we not have another day and not have to be one versus the other? Which, by the way, self-serving side note. Podcast, if you go and you can check our podcast out, the fastest way to get our podcast is use the FM Talk 106.5 app, but you can go to our website as well. Look at my interview from Thursday in the 1 o'clock hour. My guest, John Sledge, local historian. We talked about the Battle of Mobilla. Like the Mobilas that became the reason we're named Mobile here, but also led to the Creek Indians. Fascinating history there. And you can check that podcast out and share it, if you would, Thursday in the 1 o'clock hour of Midday Mobile. All right, we'll be right back. Ag Commissioner Rick Pate, our guest next.